If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Merkel Media.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, crossed the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people who really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to Hammer Lane Legends. I am Brian Merkel.
I'm Brian Shipper.
On my phone again, right?
Yes.
Yes. If you have a crazy and wild story that you would like to share with us from... Did I say welcome to Hammer Lane Legends? I did.
Yes.
This is what happens.
Welcome to today's recording of Hammer Lane Legends.
There you go. That's it. That's it. Anyway, if you have a crazy and wild story you would like to share with us from the road, or if you'd like to have a conversation with us about your experiences on the road, go ahead and get a hold of us. You can get a hold of us at... HLLpodcast@protonmail.com. That's HLLpodcast@protonmail.com. Or go to the Hammer Lane Legends website, hit the contact section. You can get a hold of us that way. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us and share your story. Shipper, tell them about the voicemail line.
The voicemail line is a short story of anything crazy, wacky, or insane you might have seen on the road or in your daily travels there. You can leave us a voice message at 515-585-MERK. 515-585-6375. Short story, 5-10 minutes at the most. We'll compile these voicemails up. We'll do a voicemail show like we've always been doing. If you had anything longer than that, you need to contact Shaq at the HammerLaneLegends.com. Get on the schedule, and we'll be glad to do an interview with you.
Freaking A, you got that right. We'd love to do an interview with you.
Yes.
And in this crazy world, with all the crazy weather we're having and all the crazy things that are going on, if you find yourself in need of some kind of preparedness food, preparedness stuff, you know, all the different things that Shipper mentions every time my mind goes blank when I'm freaking talking about this stuff, you know, the generators, the solar panels, the water purification, air filters, you know, you name it, they've got it. If you need it, they've got it. You can take a look at that at preparewithhll.com. That's preparewithhll.com. Ship, tell them about the Buy Me a Coffee.
Buy Me a Coffee is a virtual tip jar. Keep us caffeinated that we can keep bringing you the show that you enjoy it. We enjoy doing it. Leave a virtual tip. If not, thank you anyway.
Yeah, you know it. I mean, that's it. Yeah, if you enjoy the show and you want to share something, that's fine. If you don't, we're here. We're here no matter what. So Jack
we
makes
ain't
us
going anywhere.
Jack makes us do this.
Yes, slave driver.
Anyway, today I think we covered everything, didn't we?
The website. When you're at the website, look at the gear section.
Very good.
We got junk there.
We got stuff. Well, we got stuff there. It ain't junk.
Well, is there hats? Is there
Easter's
hats?
Easter's coming up. Hats? I mean, who knows? You want to give somebody a Hammerland Legend Easter shirt? You know,
or an egg?
Or an egg?
Because they're more valuable than shirts at this point.
Right now, they certainly are.
Don't forget, you can reach us on all the social media platforms.
There you go.
YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, all that happy stuff.
Look at you going. Instagram.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot the IG.
Yeah, IG. Time the kids say that to me, I'm like, what's IG? I don't know. I'm not the brightest guy when it comes to social media. But anyway, today we're talking to Matt. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you guys?
Well, you know,
fair to mediocre.
Yeah, we're doing all right for a cold, rainy, snowy, weird second weekend in March. You know, what the heck?
Typical Pennsylvania.
It is. How are things out your way?
Oh, not too bad. It's snowing. It was raining earlier and it's snowing now. So I get to go shovel the driveway shortly.
Partly cloudy tomorrow.
Yes, sir. who knows what tomorrow will bring? Do you guys turn your clocks ahead or back with daylight savings time?
Tonight, I guess. Yeah. Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah.
Our PSA. Twice a year, the clock's right on the car radio.
Exactly. That's how mine is anyway, because I ain't changing it.
Once a year.
Mine goes back to normal time tonight. My car will be correct. Because I'm too lazy to just push the button in the car. But when you have a 2001 Toyota with 361,000 miles on it, you're like, I know. We're in 61 now. So
yes, feel free, Toyota, if you're listening. You know, 4Runners around, Tacomas, anything like that.
That's right. Anyway,
electric.
I'm too lazy to hit the buttons. I don't know. It's just like, it'll be right in 6 months or whatever it is, you know. Now this year it'll stay. I guess this is the last time we're doing this.
That's what I heard. I don't know how true it is it all depends what Biden signed or what he don't remember.
We'll find out.
What? We're starting already?
Yeah. Well, it's early in the show for that, dude. Holy cow.
Don't even get me started on the banks. Anyway, back to Matt.
Yeah, back to our regularly scheduled programming. That's it. So anyway, Matt, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, well, yeah, I was on, I think it was episode 115, and I drive for Estes Express now, and I've been driving for 27 years, and, you know, that's about it in a nutshell.
I know. I know how you feel. It's like, that's what I've been doing. That's my background. So have you been with Estes all that time?
No, well, and the whole time I've been driving, I think I've been with 4 companies. Attention, but October will be 18 years with Estes.
Oh, man, not so bad. I apologize.
What is the matter with you, Shipper?
Well, he said he was on episode 115.
So you're going to listen to it now?
No, I'm like, what? You know, you could have prefaced this conversation with, we have a returning guest something of that nature.
I don't remember who we talked to last week. You want to remember episode 115?
Well, no, that's why I went paging back. Anyway. Son of a bitch, right there, it says Matt.
You go. So I guess, anyway, so you've been with them for 18 years. That's awesome. You like working with Estes? They pretty good to work for?
Yeah, I don't have any complaints. That's, I mean, it's just like every other place.
Yeah.
Same truck, different colors.
Amen, brother. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I always say to Shipper, you know, I don't have to agree with all the decisions that the company makes. I'm happy where I'm at. If I wasn't, I wouldn't be here for 26 years. You know, it's just, it's really what it boils down to. If it was that bad, I wouldn't be here. So,
that's why I didn't stay at the other three.
Exactly. I know. Exactly. That's it. You know, otherwise I would have moved on. And there's another colored truck somewhere out there and it doesn't have my name on it. Cause at this point, as I said to my wife, I'm 55 this year. I am not moving on anymore. I'm like, this is it. I'm done and I'm going to retire or die.
Your buddy there in the office, in the Oval Office, wants to bump the retirement age up a little.
So my retirement's moving further away from me.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
So in other words, you may die before you
retire. Right, yes.
Exactly.
That's the Bush plan, work till you die.
Yeah. that's going to happen, I mean, that's what they're hoping for. Hey, they can pocket all that Social Security.
I'm not leaning one direction. I'm just stating facts. Okay? Don't look at me like that.
You're an equal opportunity offender.
It. Yes. you're at the 60 mark. Oh, we're going to move this. So, 62 is no good. Let's go to 64. You bastard.
I'm at 67 now. I was. I don't know what it'll be next year, but, So
anyway, back to Matt. Sorry, we apologize for that.
Again, back to our normally scheduled programming. So what's new? What's going on?
Oh, nothing. So here's a little story for you right off the top. So me and my daughter, Layla, were driving down the road listening to the best of 2022 Hammer Lane Legends.
Uh-huh. Mm.
And
how was sudden, that?
It was very good.
Good. Okay.
And all of a sudden she says, "Hey, that guy's got the same name as you." And I was like, "Oh yeah, cool." So then the story started and she goes, "That sounds like you." And I was like, "Cause it is." And she was like, "Oh my gosh, you made the best of."
That's awesome. It is so cool.
And did you turn to her and say, "Yes, you're driving with a legend.
Would you like an autograph?"
That's what I told her. I was like, "Yep, you know it."
Yes, sir. Here's my autograph. And my daughter looks at me and says, "Well, put that on a check, please."
Yes. With a bunch of zeros.
And don't start with one.
Yes.
But that's really cool. I think that is really neat. And your daughter was excited. So that's really cool.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like the last time I did it, she was all excited about it. And then she's in a carving club at school, where they carve stuff out of wood and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Well, she's been in it for like 4 years. And they, one of the local radio stations here in these little towns got her and her teacher on the phone and interviewed them. So she came in, "Dad, I'm on the radio now too."
Loogie me.
That's awesome. Good.
Nice.
That is so cool. That is neat. How old is your daughter? Is she an adult?
No, she's 12.
Okay. I talk to people and I don't remember, like I said, I have a hard time remembering last week.
He suffers from CRS.
And that is,
right?
Can't remember. Yeah. Thanks, Jim.
First, I had to remember the initials. Yeah.
Apparently, you're suffering from it too.
Well, I wanted to give you the proper diagnosis.
Thanks, Doc. This is our therapy session.
Because,
here.
He's out in Iowa too. I could have said CRST and it'd be a whole different thing. Right?
Oh, man.
Here I go. Yeah. That's one trucking company down.
We're not going to have any advertisers.
Right, that's it. Don't worry. You're Swift, always wanting to buy Tony a coffee.
That's true. Yes. So
you guys experienced a slowdown out there with your company?
No, not really.
Really?
I mean,
it's coming. It's coming.
I mean, it'll slow down for like a day and then it'll catch back up. Mm-hmm. And then, they finally talked me into going back into dispatch for a little, when the regular dispatcher's on vacation.
Oh, you'd be a fill. That's like a vacation for you because it's only a week.
Well, I was in there Thursday and Friday. Oh, and okay. I mean, we weren't slow. We weren't busy, but we had a lot of volume.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If that makes any sense.
Right. It does. Yep. It does.
But I mean, we haven't had to leave anybody home So, I mean,
no, that's good.
That's always a good thing.
Yes, it is.
Right. Yeah. Last night I had
tell them your story.
Well, last night I had an issue. I got a back problem. The smooth roads.
Tired of carrying the company.
No, it wasn't even carrying the company. I'm going to put that out there. It was just with the smooth roads of 78 and everything in Pennsylvania here. I pulled my back, and you know, my supervisor called me up. He says, "Hey, you know, we don't have a run for one of these guys. Do you want to do one and go home?" I'm like, absolutely. I says, I'll gladly take the hit. And I mean, I really appreciate them doing that, because, you know, it was a bad 3 days already, but, yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you, Linehall.
There you go.
Right.
Every now and then, you know.
Yes. Every once in a while, they do something good.
Yes. So how do you like being in the office and doing dispatching, Matt?
I mean, it's a change of pace. Come Friday, I was ready to get back in the dang truck. And I was only in there 2 days this week, so, but I was ready to get out of there.
I bet. Right. Oh yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. You know, just, I mean, I'm sure, you know, office people are office people, and I don't mean anything by it. It's just, I don't know if I can handle, you know, I mean, like, just in, you get so used to driving and being by yourself, and like, you know, you listen to whatever you want to listen to, and you don't have to worry about anybody else talking or offending anybody with any thought that runs through your noggin. You know, it's like whatever comes out and you're like, okay, you know. But when you're in the office, it's like, it's a whole different world, because the bosses are, you know, and I don't mean anything by it. I just mean, it's a different world.
The computer screen's a lot smaller than the windshield.
It is.
That is true.
And the scenery does not change.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, well, at least it's, you know, I've said it before, you know, me jumping around doing different stuff, at least it gives you a different view, you know, of different aspects of what the job entails totally, you know, overall. So you have that.
Well, and that's true. And I had this new driver when I was a full-time dispatcher in Fort Worth. And, you know, he hadn't been driving P&D very long. And I sent him to this place, and I told him, I was like, look, when you get here, you have to turn on this street and then make an immediate right and then go up into the field and then back straight into their dock. He laughed at me. He was like, whatever. And then he calls me back after he gets there and gets loaded and everything. And he's like, how did you know that? There's no way you can back in off the street there. I was like, dude, because I've been there.
Mm-hmm. You know,
I was like, you know, I wouldn't ask you guys to do anything that I haven't done or wouldn't do.
Right. Exactly. These young whippersnappers.
Yep. You know, it's funny. We had a guy, his name was Steve, years ago. He was kind of like this. He was like that. He used to drive, you know, he was like one of those jack of all trades type of guy, you know. He was like a weatherman or something like that for, I don't know, what do you call, I don't know what the hell the name of the weather station is, you know, it's the state weather station, whatever it was. Anyway, he was like a weather dude. And then he's doing dispatch, and he used to drive truck. I'm like, dude, is there anything you didn't do? I'm like, that's like a weird combo, you know? Yeah. It's like, you know,
from one extreme to the other.
He could do that. He could tell you, like, he could give you directions into a place, and you're like, how do you know? You're like, you're the nighttime guy dispatcher dude, you know? And he's right. Like, oh yeah, well, you got this pickup here. I'm tooling around, you know, Newark, New Jersey, and you know, he pages me the one night. It's like 9 o'clock. I'm in Newark. And he goes, where are you? So you had to, this is back when you had to pull over and actually use a payphone to call, you know? So I pull over and call him, and he's like, where are you at? I said, I'm in Newark. He said, well, what are you doing out of your truck giving me a call? I said, you paged me. He said, it's 9 o'clock. Get the heck out of there. It's Newark. All right, Steve, I'll see you in an hour and a half or 2 hours. So anyway, he was that kind of guy. Now, you know, that's really cool if you have somebody in the office who's actually helpful like that, you know? Somebody that actually knows what they're doing, and not that the daytime dispatchers don't know what they're doing, but they don't, most of them don't drive.
Right. But nowadays,
most of them never even seen the truck other than driving across the parking lot.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah. Their whole thought is, don't bother me with your problems. I have to dispatch, you know, you're just a driver. You just go where I tell you. So anyway, back to Matt. So what's new? What's going on? Yeah, are you enjoying yourself?
Yeah, I'm always enjoying myself.
There you go.
It ain't worth doing unless you're having fun, right?
That's the truth,
for sure.
Yeah, other than this wonderful weather, I can't wait till spring comes around.
Yeah. If it will, you know, rear its head at some point, but I don't know when. You know,
I better hurry up.
I thought we were having spring in February. I thought we were having spring in January, and now it's, you know, springtime, and now it's snowing. So, like, yeah. I said, it's just crazy.
This is because you got rid of your snowblower.
Exactly. That's what happened.
Yesterday,
you know?
Yesterday morning, it was kind of spitting and snowing, you know. Well, I got to work at 4:30 yesterday morning, and it started snowing, and by 7, it was 3 inches of snow on the ground. And while I was in there dispatching, I was looking at our terminal in Hawaii, seeing if they're hiring.
That's awesome. So,
yeah, Iowa's not for the weak.
No, it's not. And so I'm not going to Iowa. If I'm moving, I'm going with you to Hawaii. I'm going to drive interstate in Hawaii.
Interstate one. That's all there is.
I can't understand why they have interstate highways in Hawaii, but they do. So
that's only one.
Ain't that the truth?
Somebody's got to get around the island.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know. It was either that or Alaska. They got 4 terminals in Alaska.
Ooh, that's really not good.
Yep. No, so I didn't think they'd have that many. I figured they'd just give it to all the agents, you know.
But yeah,
no, they got 4 terminals there.
Huh. Holy cow!
And 3 of them were run by dog sled.
Yeah,
doubles
and triples for everybody. 2 and 3 teams.
Wow. I you know what? God bless them if they drive up there in Canada or in Alaska.
Alaska.
Well, it's almost Canada.
Well, it's a little bit north of there.
And
it's and us yet.
It's still us.
Yeah, it's us. U.S.
It's almost Russia.
Not really.
Sarah Palin.
Not really. Not yet.
When I got home and told my wife that I was looking at Hawaii, she said, well, it's too oceany. I was like, okay, well, how about Alaska? And she said, nah, it's too close to Russia. I was like, okay, well, I guess we're staying here then.
Yeah. I mean, the weather's almost the same as what you got there. So,
right.
At least in the wintertime, you know, holy cow.
They actually got 4 terminals. Well, it's got to be Anchorage.
Juneau.
Anchorage, Fairbanks, Juneau, and Kenai.
Okay. Yeah, my son was up. Excuse me. My son was up Alaska. He flew all the way out to St. Paul Island. And that was an adventure just listening to him, you know, shooting me texts as where the heck he is and how long till he gets there. That was an adventure.
Right, on the little puddle jumpers?
Yeah, yeah. He flew commercial, I guess, all the way to Anchorage. And then he got the puddle jumper to Bethel, and then another puddle jumper over from Bethel over to...
Is that the kind of plane that they ask you how much you weigh?
Yeah.
Because if it's that close, I ain't going,
yeah,
dude.
Basically.
Just give me a canoe. I'm going to be okay.
But he did when he went... When the store was open on St. Paul, he did shoot me a picture of...
When the store was open.
Yeah, of a can of ravioli cost and what I think it was a 30-pack of Red Bull cost. And I was like, you got to be kidding when I saw those prices up there. Like, wow.
Buy a house down here for the 30-pack of Red Bull.
The 30-pack of Red Bull was like $109.
It's like a dozen eggs.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, over here in Pennsylvania, you know, 6 flats of eggs, the Amish guys will trade you for a Mercedes.
Yes, sir, or a new horse. Right? Oh, man. That's just too much. Freaking A ship.
Yeah, yeah. But that's weird, huh? You got 4 terminals up there. That just blows my mind.
Apparently.
Yeah. I mean,
that really got
that's
you.
Definitely, I don't care what you say, that's definitely an inbound terminal. It's not like they're shipping snow out of there.
They ain't doing pickups.
Wow. I just derailed the whole show because of this.
It's funny because, you know, you don't really think about that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you don't
really think about it. But, I mean, if you do think about it, Alaska's a big state, so it's not
huge.
Like it's not like they could just have one terminal.
Right.
One covers all, you know.
Boy, you got
here's your pedal run, 750 miles.
Good luck.
Three stops.
We'll see you in a week.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Chain up. And here's the snowmobile, just in case you can't make it.
Right.
Wow. Oh, man, that's unbelievable. Funny. That's just too much. So. Anyway.
You imagine doing residential deliveries up there? You got a snowmobile up a 3-mile driveway?
My igloo is just built. It's not on GPS yet. It's not on Google.
Amazon doesn't even know where I'm living.
Yes. I have to go in town to pick up Amazon.
They drop it with drones.
Right. Exactly. Yes. Yeah. This is a great business, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sometimes it sucks.
It never sucks. It's always a good day.
And I would just miss me the Earth's gravity.
Yeah. Well,
gravitational pull. Sucking the life out of me.
That's right. So anyway, back to Matt.
Yes. Again.
So everybody doing okay out there?
Yeah.
Your family and all?
Yeah, everybody's good.
We're good.
So not too bad.
That's awesome.
No kind of crazy Bigfoot story out there lately?
No, I hadn't been to Oklahoma in a while. I tried to stay off that stretch of I-35.
Right. Well, you never know. They do find their way north.
I was listening to another podcast, and they were talking. They had a Bigfoot story of the town that I live in. Mm-hmm. But, I've yet to see him or hear him, so we're good.
Amen, brother. I don't want to have I don't want to meet him. I don't want to have a run-in with him. I don't need that in my life. I'm good.
Nope.
Absolutely.
Yep. It's, I don't know. Nice up here during the summer. Wintertime sucks, but, you know, that's everywhere.
Yes, it is. Everywhere that it gets cold, it sucks. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. I agree 100%. You know, it's just one of those things where it's part of what we do and you deal with it. You just don't like to. That's just reality. You know, I mean, it's a, you know, when, like the ice road truckers and that kind of stuff came on. My kids, Jack was like, hey, you know, you ever think about doing that? I'm like, no, I'm an ice road trucker every winter. I don't need to go to Alaska to be an ice road trucker. And I don't need to drive on any lakes.
I was going to say, not only that, but I don't need to fall in the water.
Exactly. Because that's where I know my butt would wind up. It's not happening. It's just, you know, I'm not into it. I don't like winter driving as it is. I don't need to have it, you know, extended to 9 months out of the year.
Right. I don't need my seat to be a flotation device.
Amen, brother. Amen. So how is Estes doing out there? You guys are busy, or at least somewhat. And, you know.
Yeah, we're steady. I mean, you know, everything going to Denver and Cheyenne and Salt Lake has been shut down because of 80 in Wyoming has been shut down for the last 4 months.
It's because of the snow, Brian.
They
have like 117 inches.
Oh, it's something stupid. There was pictures of them going through the highway I-80, and they had one lane plowed because of the snow drifts, and it was up to the overpass.
Yeah.
Wow. God bless you. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was watching looking at Facebook on that Wyoming DOT page, and they'd open it for 2 hours and then shut it down for 10.
Yep. Yeah. I saw a comment on that, and I just thought, oh, PennDOT.
It must be the same everywhere you go, you know, what can you say? Wow. That's I don't know how you deal with that. I just don't. I don't know how in the world you do that. And deal with that kind of snow. Well, it's bad enough.
Climate change, you know.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, they're not used to all
that. Global warming.
Yeah.
Global warming. Seems like it. What, 118 inches of snow?
I saw somewhere the other day that maybe it was on a dumb TikTok. A lady was on her third story balcony, and they were supposed to get more snow, and the snow was even with the rail.
On the third story.
This year, they had gotten 600 inches of snow that year, this year.
Wow.
And the record was like 630 or something, and they were looking to break it.
Holy
cow. I'm not shoveling that driveway.
No.
Nope.
No. People have snowblowers, and they're shoveling into the snowblower just to get it up onto a bank.
Right?
Yeah. Because, all you know, at that point, what do? You kind of really hope a forest fire or something just to melt it down.
Just to melt it, yeah. <That's> crazy.
Yes, you know, start bonfires around there just to get things going. You know, I don't know, whatever. What? Yeah, just
it's diesel.
Just, there
lots
you go.
Lots of diesel.
Lots and lots of diesel. All that fossil fuels. That's what's causing all this.
Yep. Sometimes you just got to let things burn themselves out.
You just got to get that electric right? truck going, you know?
Right.
That's what's got to go on. We got to get those electric trucks out. So.
Yep.
What are you looking for?
No, I thought I had a picture of 80. Maybe it was on my Facebook. Never mind.
Did you say on your Facebook?
No. Well, the Facebook now I creep on.
Yeah.
As people call it.
The Facebook I creep on. Oh, my word.
Sometimes you got to go incognito. So what's the newest and latest stories you got for us?
Oh, I got to see. You want to hear about a pickaninny in Louisiana?
Sure thing.
Heck, yeah.
How about the smell at the hotel?
Oh,
we'll go for both. We got all day.
Let's go for the smell at the hotel. Let's start with
what do you say, smell or snow?
Smell.
Oh, yeah. Okay, smell.
It rhymes. Smell at the hotel.
So does snow at the hotel.
Go for it,
Matt. It's your show. Shoot.
Well, right after I just started Estes, and right after Hurricane Katrina, and they needed a volunteer out of Dallas to go down there to shuttle stuff to Home Depot in Baton Rouge. So I got me a hotel, and I've been down there for like 2 weeks, and then I'd come home on the weekend and then go back down and continue doing my, you know, my trips to Baton Rouge. I was staying in, I can't remember the name of that dang little old town. It was about an hour north of Baton Rouge. Anyway, so I get over there and got to be, you know, nice with all the hotel workers and everything. You know, one day I walked out and my room, it just stunk. So I walked down to the office and said, hey, I don't know what the hell, what it is up there. It stinks, but you guys need to figure something out. So I went and did my run, and, you know, I got back about 10 o'clock that night. And when I pulled in, she came out and flagged me in. So I went over there and talked to her. What's going on? She's like, man, we had, we went to go check that whatever was smelling in your room, and it wasn't your room. It was next door. I was like, okay, well, what was it? She said, you're never going to believe it. I was like, well, tell me what it is. Apparently the people that were there, had two raccoons, and they were just letting them use the bathroom and do whatever the hell they wanted all throughout the room. So that she said, we've moved you to another room on the other side of the complex because that room is now no good.
Not so good.
Not so good a lot. Yeah.
Had two raccoons in there, pet raccoons. They came out and did tricks and sat and everything. And then they walked in the room and she said there was just crap everywhere.
What the heck?
I was like, oh, nice.
Gives a whole new meaning to no pets allowed.
Boy, it sure does, doesn't it? Holy cow.
Wow. Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, how do you do that?
Say it. How does a person do that?
Yeah, how do you, well, you're sleeping in that, you know, the people who are living with those raccoons are sleeping in that room.
Uh-huh.
You know? I mean, how do you do that?
I mean, I've been to people's houses where they had, you know, four or five cats and never decided to clean the litter boxes.
That's true.
It's just as bad. I mean, yes. You walk in and the whole house is just like,
yep.
You know, dies as you walk in.
Yes, sir. That's true. That's true. I don't know. That was one of those. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You know, I'd rather have the raccoon than the cat.
That was always one of my rules when we had pets. Yeah, when the kids were younger, I said to Michelle, you know, if the house starts smelling, like the dogs are going. I don't want to, you know, because it doesn't have to, you know, you'll get, I get it. You get a little bit, but not, you know, it doesn't have to, you know, some people's, it just was not going to happen. So that was it. That was my rule. So if I had raccoons and they were pooping all over the place, I wouldn't be having raccoons or I wouldn't be living in that house.
I'm with you there.
That is just, I don't know, you know, something about, you know, raccoon poop where you're eating, you know what I'm saying? I just, yep. I don't know. I just don't get that. So anyway, tell us about the Pickaninny.
So this is, I'd only been driving, probably 6 months. And I started off working LTL, you know, at this one company. They pissed me off, so I went to over the road. Well, the trainer that I had, we were on our way from like Tennessee down to New Orleans, and we had to go through Memphis and hit whatever road that was and go through the woods to get down to New Orleans. And the exit was under construction. Well, I was driving, he was asleep, and he woke up when I stopped at the scale house right there at the Tennessee, Arkansas line there, you know, in West Memphis. Mm-hmm. And he's like, "Did you not go south like you were supposed to?" I was like, "No, the exit." And he's like, "Oh, are you dumb?" So that right there set me off. I was pissed at him, you know, so because we had to go past it, go through the scale house, turn around, come through the other scale house. So, you know, it's double jeopardy right there. So, you know, and then finally got on the road that we were supposed to be on to head south. And so he got all mad, you know. So we get headed out. And then right as we get outskirts of Memphis, he sticks his head out of the sleeper and says, "Hey, watch out for the pickaninnies." Okay, well, this is the first time almost I've ever been out of Texas, you know. Like, okay, whatever. I don't know what the hell's running through here. So the next morning he wakes me up, or we switched, and I was still pissed off at him. So I told him, you know, "It's your turn." And this was like 4 hours in, you know, and so we switched, and then he woke me up later on after he unloaded. And he's like, "What in the world was the deal with the Jake brakes last night?" He said, "They were so bad, I couldn't sleep." And I was like, "Well, first off, you stuck your head out the window or out the curtain and said, 'Watch out for the pickaninnies.' I don't know what a pickaninny is. So every time you go around that the corner, the first two delineators are white. They look like eyeballs." So I'm thinking they're pickaninnies. So I hit the Jake brakes. No, they're not. And I was like, "Yeah, like I don't know what to tell you, but you know, next time don't do that."
That's freaking great. Pickaninnies. I gotta remember that.
Yeah, that guy, he was a trip. I can't remember what his name was, but there was one night I was sleeping and he was driving, and all of a sudden I got hit in the head with something, and I woke up and he was standing over me in the damn sleeper, and I could feel the truck still going. And I was like, "What are you doing?" "Oh, I'm looking for a book to read."
Autopilot.
I was like, "Either you drive or let me get up there and I will drive and you can read your damn book." I was like, "Oh my God." I mean, he was a super nice guy. Just, there was a lot about him that was, you drive through the mountains and you look over at him and there would be blood coming out of his eyeballs and in his ears. Because he used to be an underwater welder, so the pressure change would screw with him.
Wow.
Make him start bleeding out of places. I was like, "What the hell?"
What? I guess that explains some of this stuff anyway.
And this is why I don't do teams.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly. Oh, my word. I guess he was planning ahead for the autonomous trucks. You know, he was like, "Oh, you know, I'll just, we'll see how it works out. Let's
just
go.
Just walking around here."
I put it on autopilot. We should be good. I got the cruise control on. We're all right. Oh, yeah,
there was one time we were, it was after that, we were running so good. 'Cause like most of the trainers, you know, they would stay awake with the trainees and, you know, just sit in the passenger seat. But we were running like team operation. So we were getting more miles, more money, and he was giving me a cut of the extra money he was getting. So we just kept on going for, like, you know, instead of the 2 weeks that I was supposed to be with him, I ended up with him for 2 months. And so, you know, a couple weeks later after that incident, I woke up and I went to get it. He said, "Hey, it's time to come help me untarp this load." So I went to jump out of the sleeper and he had the damn net hooked up, all buckled up. So I, you know, I ended up all mixed mashed in the net. And I was like, "What the hell did you do?" He's like, "You kept falling out of the damn bunk, knocking the truck out of gear." I was like, "Oh, okay. Well, that would explain it. At least I didn't get hit in the head with another book."
There you go. Amen, brother. It's a heck of a way to read them, you know? That's the hard way. Well,
it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. So that means you got to have the light on in the cab and, you know, what the heck?
Wow. You know, I don't know. That's another one of those things. I don't know how people do it. I don't know how you do teams. I mean, you know, once you get through your training period, you know, I mean, you got to do that part. But, you know, guys who actually do teams, I'm like, unless you know somebody and you know, like you got into this together, or it's somebody that, you know, they were doing it and then you got into it and then you just kind of teamed up. I guess that's one way. But I don't know. Just to be in that small area with one person for any length of time. I don't know.
Oh, I had at another company, they sent me out. And this company, it was the LTL / truckload company. And they tried to run it to, like, everything was mixed mashed together.
Okay.
So basically, well, they sent me out with this trainer and I was out for a week with him. And, this guy, he wasn't very smart. And I told him, I was like, "Look, when I stop, if you get out of the damn truck, you need to make sure you know, find me and let me know that you did this." And so we were out in the middle of West Texas somewhere. I mean, it was out dark and it was out in the middle of nowhere. No lights other than this little store that I found. And I pulled over, went inside to go get something to drink, came back, got in the truck and took off. I got a message on my Qualcomm. "Hey, you left your trainer at the store." I was like, "Oh, oops. That kind of sucks."
Yeah. For him.
tell him I'm going to El Paso. I'll be back in about 10 hours.
Wow. So you had to turn around and go get him, I take it?
Yeah, I was only about 10 minutes down the road. Well, he called pretty quick, but still, I mean, you know, who does that?
Yeah,
I
mean, well, and he's the trainer. You know, it's like, dude.
Yeah, that company sucked. That was back before cell phones were real prevalent.
Uh-huh.
And I used to run a halfway meet from Dallas, and I'd meet a guy from Louisiana or from New Orleans, and that guy, half the time he'd call in sick or just wouldn't call or whatever, and I'd get to the meet point, wait for an hour. "Oh, you call? Yeah, well, he didn't come to work today, so you got to go all the way through."
Wow.
So I'd get down there to our terminal. Well, then when I wake up, I'm expecting to have freight ready to go back to Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
"Oh no, you got to go load either at in Bogalusa, Louisiana, at the paper mill, those big giant rolls of paper,
uh-huh,
or you go to Chalmette, Louisiana, where you load sugar." So, you know, I was like, whatever.
Wow.
They send you to Chalmette and you wouldn't have an appointment, a loading appointment. So I'd end up sitting there for, you know, 3-4 hours. And you know, it's just, mixing the LTL and truckload just doesn't work. You know,
I can't imagine what that's like. I mean, that's got to be a strange marriage to begin with. You know, when if you're going to marry them on the same load, or you're going to do that, you know, the same company or whatever, it's like, I don't get that. I don't get that at all. I mean, I know it's kind of like, you know, at Pitt, you know, they used to have ECM and Pitt. ECM did the truckload stuff and, you know, Pitt did the LTL stuff. And, I mean, I guess that, you know, that that works out pretty good. But, you know, to wow, I don't know. Anyway, it's just crazy. But
yeah, it, well, and, you know, and then in Louisiana, being in Louisiana anyway, in the middle of the damn swamps, you know, our terminal was surrounded by trees. One night I got up and it, you know, it was already pitch black by the time I got to the yard, and they told me to go grab a empty off the line and, you know, go load the sugar plant. So I'm walking back there, checking my tires and my lights and everything, doing my pre-trip. And, I hear stuff in the damn grass coming at me.
Mm-hmm.
You ever heard of a nutria?
Yeah.
Like a big giant rat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They run in packs.
Wow.
there was a ton of them, and they were coming after me.
Ooh, they heard you and they were like, hey, dinner.
Dinner. I gotta go.
Wow.
But yeah, that was that down there, it was bad. Like I went to Chalmette to load sugar one night, and it was a rough trip getting down there, and I didn't sleep good at the hotel. And then when I finally got up and headed down there, you know, I didn't have a damn appointment. So I'm sitting there. I got there at 6:00. It's midnight now. Dispatch told me to, well, show sleeper berth. I was like, I'm in a day cab. You can't show sleeper berth in a day cab. So they were like, oh, okay, well, whatever. So, you know, I'm walking around the grounds there at the sugar plant. Well, before I even get there, it's starting to get dark, and I missed my turn to get to the sugar plant, and I got pulled over by three Louisiana or New Orleans police officers. And they walk over and said, what's the problem? You know, I thought, where are you going? And they were like, had some, you know, they were really wanting me to hurry up and tell them what the hell was going on. I said, where are you going? I was like, I'm going to the sugar plant. Well, you missed your turn. You need to turn around now. And I was like, okay, well, I can't just turn around right here. This is like almost in the middle of a residential. He was like, I don't care how you turn around. You got 5 minutes to turn around and get out of here, because we don't come down here after dark.
Wow.
I was like, okay, I'm turning around right now. Let's get out of here.
Yes, sir.
So they escorted me back out, you know, and so I get finally, what they took me to the plant, make sure that I got there. So I got in there, and of course, you know, they didn't have my stuff ready. So I'm, you know, it gets dark and everything, and I'm walking around the grounds on this plant just waiting. And, it was started getting foggy, real foggy. And, I walk up this little hill. And there's like, you could see a little, brick fence, you know, and it was only about waist high. And all of a sudden I start seeing these lights, you know, it looked like a alien invasion coming. And I was like, what in the world are these? You know, I thought the mothership was coming to take me up. And, all of a sudden the air horn, you know, the brrr. It was the cruise ships. I was right there on the canal and didn't know it.
Wow.
And the damn cruise ships are coming. The tugs are bringing the cruise ships in. And I was like, oh my God, it scared the crap out of me. 2:00 in the morning. You know, I'm like, what in the world? And you notice everything happens at 2:00 in the morning.
Yes, it does.
That's when they close the bars down. The crazies come out.
That's what happens. Yes, sir. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that company was that was pretty much a joke. The owner of the company, back when he opened it in the 50s or whenever he opened it, he didn't have air conditioner in his trucks when he started. Well, I guess trucks didn't have air conditioners, right?
Right,
right. They had the 550.
All the old line haul trucks would go into the city, and he would take the air conditioners out of them.
Get the heck out.
You don't get an air conditioner because I didn't have an air conditioner.
Wow. That's a great
attitude. Don't have a driver because I don't have air conditioner.
that's what I said. I was like, all right, well, as soon as I find another job, we'll be out of here.
Wow. What an attitude to have toward your own drivers.
Yeah, he was he was not a real nice guy.
Where did they run out of?
Their home corporate office was there in San Antonio.
Wow.
I got in there one night. I was running Dallas to San Antonio and back, and I got in there, and their yard's not in a real great place. And I was hooking up, and at 2 o'clock in the morning, he's roaming the damn yard, and he come up behind me and grabbed me by the shoulder, you know, put his hand on my shoulder, and I turned around and grabbed my knife, and I about stabbed him. I was like, "Dude, what are you doing? You know who I am." I was like, "I really don't care. You're almost dead." That, and then he told me who he was, and I was like, "I you shouldn't do that to people."
Boy, you got that right, especially at, you know, at dark. Holy cow! Right?
Well, he was doing the security for the lot. Yeah, he's doing a lot of security.
Yeah, he's a lot of security. There you go.
Yeah. Trying to save a couple dollars on the security.
Yeah, that old man, he was crazy.
Sometimes it seems like that is the that's just, you know, almost like a prerequisite in this industry. You know, it's
for crazy, know?
Right?
Yeah. And I don't know why.
You gotta be willing to take a rash of shit.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. I picked up
a load one night in, I was at some moving and storage company. It was a full trailer load of crate, you know, like moving crates going to Corpus. So I planned it out to where I wouldn't have to go back. If I took it to Corpus, I could go to Corpus and then come back up to Dallas and be there Friday noonish. So I could, and wouldn't have to go back out for the rest of the week. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I get to Corpus and I go to the yard, and the terminal manager there says, "Oh, you got to go deliver those." I was like, "I got 15 minutes left. I'm not taking those to deliver them." And he's like, "Oh, you got to." I was like, "No, I don't." So I called the safety guy. Safety guy tells me, "Oh, you must be new." I was like, what do you mean by that?
Yard moves.
He was like, "Oh," he said, all of our guys do that. You know, they'll deliver them in route." I said, "I got 15 minutes left." "Oh, no, no, just go deliver them. It's not that far away." I said, "So at what point after I run out of hours and I have a wreck, at what point does this company tell me that I'm no longer employed because I broke the rules?"
Yep.
Exactly. "Fine. Just go back to the, go to the hotel." I was like, "That's where I'm going."
Glad we agree. You. Yes.
I appreciate that.
That is, you know, it's one of the weirdest things that, you know, of course, you know, nowadays the ELD, you know, has done away with a lot of that, you know, that type of stuff. But, you know, that stuff used to happen all the time. You know, I don't know. I don't understand that. I don't understand why a company would want that, but they did. That's how they ran it.
Well, I worked at this one company, and we had the terminal manager calls me and tells me, "Hey, it was Saturday." He called me like at 2 o'clock Saturday morning, says, "Hey, I got a load in Houston that I need to pick up, bring it back here. And then I needed to go to Tulsa." I was like, "Okay, no biggie." And, you know, I was single by myself and just needed some more money. So I was like, "All right, cool." So I went to Houston, came back. And that was the set that needed to go to Tulsa. Mm-hmm. So I was like, "Well, shit, I just keep on going." Then I went to Tulsa and then came back. Oh, that was the longest 24 hours ever.
I guess it was.
He called me Sunday and he's like, "Did you get that to Tulsa?" I was like, "Yeah, I left Tulsa last night at probably 9 o'clock. "When did you get back from Houston?" I was like, "About 2 o'clock. "Oh my God, you did that all yesterday?" I was like, "Yeah, why not?" I said, "I'm almost back to Dallas now. We're good."
It's amazing. That's freaking amazing, dude. It's one of those things that nowadays I'd look at it and I'm like, nah.
Well, the key word back there was when he was young and single.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Cause I mean, I couldn't have been more than maybe 25.
Wow.
Yeah, that's probably about right, about 25. So, you know, it's one of them things we just go.
Yeah, full of energy. Mm-hmm. Now, not so much a lot, you know?
No, it takes a lot to get me out of bed now.
Yeah, about 5 snooze hits, you know?
Oh my wife hates it. So I go to work every morning at 4:30 is what time I'm supposed to be there. Uh-huh. I live, if you look out my second story window, you can see the terminal. I filled up the car the other day, and that was probably in October, and I'm still on the same tank of gas.
Wow.
My alarm starts going off at 3:00, then 3:05, 3:15, 3:20, 3:25, all the way to 4:30. And she's like, "Will you get up and get out of here?
You're late now."
Yeah. This job will do that to you. It really will. Just, wow. You start at 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah. I go in and, I load my trailer up, and if I don't have enough stuff to go out, then I'll help break trailers until about 6. My first stop is that they open at 7, so I got to be there every morning at 7. And then sometimes I got grocery warehouses in Lincoln, so I got appointments over there and stuff. Mm-hmm. Then I get done and start picking up and get back home by about 2:30, 3:00.
Wow. I mean, I guess it's not bad, you know, when you think about, you know, getting done early in the afternoon like that.
Well, I mean, you know, you see these, I usually get at least 10 hours a day.
Yeah.
10 and a half is optimal because they take the 30-minute lunch out.
Right.
So, you know, it's 50 hours a week. Well, there's some of the other guys that come in at 9:00 that get 10 hours a day, and I don't want to be there that late.
Mm-hmm. Boy, do I hear that.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know.
Yeah, at least you got some daylight when you're done, you know?
Right.
What the heck?
I get home and I'll throw something on the smoker real quick that I can smoke in 2 hours. And 6:00, dinner's ready. Time to go.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Friggin' A. That's the way to do it.
It's not too bad. I mean, I think I deserve it. I've been here 18 years. So.
Heck yeah.
I've got I think 6 years on everybody at over here.
Wow. No kidding.
Yeah. Well, you know, I started before they even opened this terminal.
Okay.
Cause you know, I started in Dallas and then transferred to Fort Worth and then transferred up here. And so, you know, your seniority travels with you.
Yep.
So, you know, it's,
So everybody's hating you because you got seniority before they even started.
Oh, yeah. Well, there, when I first move up here, so, you know, your seniority, when you transfer in, you're at bottom of the totem pole for 90 days. And, well, in that 90 days, they let me run all different routes to see what I wanted. Because, you know, the terminal manager knew how many years I'd been with them. So he's like, you're going to be able to get whatever you want. So just... we'll figure out what you like. Well, one of the guys was griping at this one route that, you know, cause I kept taking it every day. And he was like, I told him when bids come up, I was told they're coming up in like a month. You should definitely bid on this. Cause you know, you should bid on it. You need it. So bids came up and that was the route that I wanted. And he bid on it. And then he was like, how did you get that over me? I was like, dude, you don't know how many years I've been here.
Surprise.
You know? Yeah, surprise.
You know, it's one of the funny things is how, what's the word I'm looking for? Possessive. Some of these guys, they think that, you know, that they've got this and then they find out there's somebody who, you know, nope, sorry, dude, it ain't going to happen. You know, it's just the way it is. And I guess that, you know, when you change at Estes, like you change terminals or you go, you know, whatever, like you go, like do you run your operations separate? Like is your city and road, do you guys bid on the same, what do you call it? on the same board, or is that are they separated? So, like, if at Pitt, if we change from being a city driver to being a line haul driver, you go to the bottom of the list for a year and a day. If you same thing, if you go to another terminal, usually you go to the bottom of the list for a year and a day, and then you get your seniority back. I don't know. Is that how Estes works it?
Well, he said 90 days.
90 days, is, yeah, that what it is? 90.
Well, that's if you transfer in somewhere. Mm-hmm. But on bids, so I've been P&D the whole time I've been here.
Okay.
So when it comes time, if they had a Denver run that I wanted, mm-hmm, I can't take that because that's a line haul. I have no seniority in, okay, line haul.
Okay.
Which really, really sucks because I could hold some really, really cushy runs right now.
How about it? Huh?
Oh, so if you transferred into the line haul from city, you're at the bottom of the list, period.
Right.
And you just stay there then. You just stay there,
which, wow, that's how it used to be at PJAC. Same, yeah, thing, you know.
Wow.
You transferred in, you're at the bottom, okay, of the list. You might have 18 years in, you're still at the bottom.
Yeah.
That 18 years goes for your vacation. You know, right, your seniority for your vacation.
Huh. Wow.
And that's why I call the line jumpers, you know, working, right, 18 years on a dock, and now we're going to decide to drive a truck. Line jumpers.
Right. Right. Wow, that's crazy.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
I've been here for so many years. It just seems
I don't care.
I know. I don't. It's one of those weird things. You don't know how it works other places,
right?
You know, that's interesting.
Line jumpers.
Yes. Yeah, because, yeah, you know,
there's one guy there that has more seniority than me, and he's a line haul driver. And I think he's been there 25 years. Wow. He transferred in from Las Vegas or something. But yeah, so I mean, city wise, I've got it, you know.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Just hope that somebody doesn't transfer in that has more.
Right. Exactly. It's just one of those things. I mean, I know Ship used to do city work, and I did, you know, when I first started at Pitt. And I just don't know how they do it anymore. I don't. I mean, I you know.
Nor do I care.
I get frustrated just driving to work or driving home from work in my car during rush hour. I don't know how you guys do it during the day in a truck. I know it's just, it takes a different kind of patience than what I've got.
Oh, well, like the other day. All right. So I make this pickup, and in order to get back onto the main road, you have to cross traffic, and that road's always busy. Mm-hmm. So I go the back way, and it's dirt roads back to another main road where I can make a right into traffic, you know, and with the flow.
Right.
Well, the speed limit on these dirt roads is 50 miles an hour.
Wow. So
I'm doing 50 miles an hour on this dirt road, and it hadn't, you know, it was dry. And you know, it's kicking up all sorts of dirt and dust.
Dust bowl.
You're right. So I get to the stop sign, and I look over. There's a car and a big truck behind him. Well, they're still a pretty good ways away. So I turn, and you know, and then there's a store right there on the corner. So I turned into the store. Well, that dust, you know, keeps
traveling
into the main lanes of travel. So I go inside, do my business and get me something, you know, and come back out. And there's a guy that meets me at the door and says, "Hey, you drive for Estes?" I was like, "Yeah, why?" "I called in on you." I was like, "You did what?" He said, "I called in on you." I was like, "For what? What did I do?" "You know what you did." I was like, "All right, Kevin, whatever." And he was like, "Kevin?" I was like, "Isn't that what we call male Karens?" he started getting all pissed off, and I was like, "Dude, I don't know what your problem is or who you are or why you thought you had to call in on me, but thanks. I mean, I don't really care." And he was like, "Well," he said, "he was going to talk to you." I was like, "Who was it, Jeremy?" And he was like, "Yeah." I was like, "Yeah, well, that's, there ain't nothing coming about that." And he was like, "Whatever." So I called dispatch and said, "Hey, man, what's going on? What are you doing?" "Nothing. Fixing to go make another pickup." "No, you know what I'm talking about. I was like, no, I have no clue. What are you talking about? He said, guy just called in on you. I was like, well, what did he tell you I did? He said you pulled out in front of him. I was like, whatever. He's just pissed off because my truck goes faster than his does. But I don't know what his problem was, but I was like, whatever. Call in. I don't care.
You know you're out in the middle of nowhere when you're freaking right on dirt roads doing 50 miles an hour.
No, that's in the middle of the city.
Really?
Yeah.
That is crazy. I don't know. That's just crazy.
Let me ask you something. That dirt road, pretty smooth, right?
Yeah, it's not bad.
Look at that. Hear that, pothole Pete?
Yeah, but it's probably better than some of the highways that I've been on. after the grader grades it, you got about 2 weeks, and then it gets all the dirt and stuff gets kind of thick, and your truck will start to drift. But other than that, man, it's not too bad. Now, when it starts to a little bit of rain will definitely put a damper in the day. I got stuck on another part of that road in a valley in between two hills, and I almost could make it up the other side, you know, to get out, but I'd start sliding, and so I'd back all the way back, you know, to the other one, trying to get out over there. Finally, you know, after about 4 hours and the record telling me, oh, we don't know when we're going to get to you, you know, I was like, well, I'm not staying here. So I got as far up the other side as I could, put that truck in high reverse, dropped the clutch with about 30,000 pounds on that trailer, and hit the gas. I finally made it up that the other hill in reverse, doing about 30.
Wow.
Well, there's always the other option. You could chain up.
Well, I don't think that would have helped. That mud was so, God, that mud was so nasty. But and then that trailer and my truck and everything, there was 3 inches of mud on everything.
Yes, sir. Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty nasty.
You send that out west there to California there, well, it's all raining, that'll wash off.
There you go.
Right? All well, that's how we get our trucks washed here is we wait till it rains.
That's it. Mother Nature put it on. Mother Nature takes it off.
Right. I've been here for 7 or 8 years. I think my truck's been professionally washed with a power sprayer once. And that was about a year ago.
Wow. I don't even know if we still do that.
I don't know, but I watched those. I came in on the weekend to do a run. Go up Ross. Uh-huh. And whatever half-ass crew they had, they'd wash the front and the driver's windows. Driver passenger windows.
Yeah.
Right. And they would go down the line. They wouldn't rinse them. They'd wash them.
Oh, nice.
That's why you always had that soap scum on the windows come Monday morning.
That explains that.
They left it dry.
Nice. Like,
what the hell is this? And the guy's washing the truck. I'm in. I'm like, I'm going to pull out. Just move your truck. I'm going to leave. Oh, no, me got to wash. Okay, terrific.
Did you guys get that new snow removal thing put up at your new terminal?
Yeah, right out in the middle of the parking lot's blocking our delivery doors. But yeah, we got it up.
Yes.
Didn't use it once. Better yet, next. Yeah, we'll try it again next year.
Yeah, we got one. They say it works, I guess.
Yeah. I had guys there checking it out.
Well, at least they found all the pieces.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Well, they, you know, like I said, they've had good experience putting them up and taking it down, putting it up and taking it down.
They're professionals at it now.
And we're sure it's going to move one more time before it's all said and done.
Right.
Well, it is. I don't know. It's right in the, you know, right in the way of the doors. I don't know. I don't even know what to say. It's one of those crazy things that you look at and you're like, who planned this out? But hey, who am I? I'm just a driver.
That's what I say. I'm just the driver.
Yep.
I just drive right around it.
I don't make the decisions. I just do what I'm told. So, you know, it is what it is. Do you guys have those?
No. Denver's got one. But, you know, every time I've used it once and I figured, whatever, they'll come off on the road.
Yeah.
It does. You know, it's just that. I don't know. Whatever. You know, they're, it's just one of those weird things. I know in PA it's the law, but I don't know. I don't want to say too much.
Well, I can tell you right now, I'm not climbing a ladder to get on top of that trailer and knock stuff off.
No.
I can tell you that right now. I'm telling them to give me another trailer.
No, you know, we're in Pennsylvania, so it really doesn't matter. We just got to get on the interstate and, you know, by the time we get a quarter mile down the road, there's enough bumps. It should crack everything loose and send it on its way.
Right. And that's kind of how I feel.
Yeah. Kind of what you count on, you know, heading down the road, heading up the ramp to get on the highway and there's enough bumps there. Mm. We're good. We're good. We're clear.
You know, if it didn't come off, it's not going to come off.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now you have, you know, now it's not an empty trailer. You got a loaded trailer. You got a load of ice up top.
Right. I got some weight.
Or put the heater box on 80 degrees. She'll melt out.
There you go. yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy. It's a crazy, you know, it's the industry we're in, you know, the good and the bad. You take them both. Boy, that almost sounds like a song, doesn't it?
Yeah. Actually, I'm not even going there.
It was, yeah. Dude, I wasn't even trying this time. Yes. It just went there. I was like, whatever.
You just don't even realize it, Tootie, do you?
All right, Mrs. Garrett.
It's pretty bad when our listeners don't even know what we're talking about.
Yes, sir. Oh, well, what are you going to do? It sucks.
Yeah, well, sucks being you.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
Well, what's funny, you know, like, you know, my wife's 10 years old or younger than me. So some of the stuff that I tell her, you know, she doesn't really get it. But I dated a girl one time that was like 10 years younger than me. And we were sitting there watching TV one night and I asked her about something and she said, oh, you know what? I think I did see that show. And I was like, where did you see it at? She's like, I think I saw it on Nick at Night or something. and I looked at her, I was like, look, when that show came on, I had to, you know, we had to look in the TV guide.
Yes, sir.
To see what time it came on.
Right.
And we had to be there on the couch watching it or else you didn't watch it that week.
That's right.
You missed an episode. You missed an episode.
I didn't even watch it in reruns. I got to see it live on TV.
Yes, sir. First run. Yeah. You know, I guess that's what happens as you get older. You know, it's just everything becomes a rerun. You know, anything. I don't know. Anything new isn't, you know, I'm not much into it. I don't watch a whole lot, but documentaries. That's my life.
Yeah. That's about it.
It's the only thing that's interesting anymore.
Yep. And the sad thing is that's stuff that already happened.
Yeah, exactly. It's the stuff you already know about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do?
And you already know the outcome.
Yeah, right.
It was like yesterday I was sitting there at work, you know, dispatching, and I turned my Amazon Music on and was going to listen to music while I was sitting there, and I put it on my whatever, not the playlist, but just let it run.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently my daughter's been listening to it also. And it threw my algorithm off. And there was songs on there that I had no clue what they were. Somebody walked in, one of the girls in the office walked in and went, what are you listening to? I would have never pegged you for that. I was like,
you and me both.
I've already skipped it 15 times and all of them are my daughter's songs, not mine.
Yeah. You gotta love that. I don't know. Every now and then, when Jack was up here, he would, you know, Jack listened to,
Jack, he's been gone. What? 2 weeks now?
A week.
A week.
A week. a week today. He listened to screamy music. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have no idea what it's called. I don't know if it's, is that death metal?
Who knows?
Or death metal. I don't know. Anyway, he listens and I'm like, what in the world are you listening to? How do you listen to that?
I listen to rattles going down the highway. So.
I know you do. You don't even listen to the radio, you weirdo. I don't know how you do that either. I listen to podcasts and not even my own.
And not your own either.
the radio in my truck, my truck's got 950,000 miles on it.
Wow.
And the radio stopped probably 3 years ago. Radio didn't even turn on anymore.
I got a new Mac one you can use.
Nice.
Oh, man, that's great. Holy cow. Is there anything else going on?
No, I got a couple more stories, though, if you want to.
Most definitely, yeah.
Uh-oh, I got a potential spam call coming in.
Uh-oh.
Well, hold. So go ahead and answer it.
No, I ain't answering. I want to talk to John.
Yeah, he wants to talk to you about your car's warranty. It's running out.
You know, and they get pissed off when you tell them you don't have a car, that you ride a bike. You know, and they're like, "No, you don't. I know you don't."
I like to tell them, "Yeah, my warranty ran out about 19 years ago." You know, it's like,
right? You tell them you got 400,000 miles on your car, and they're like, "Oh yeah, we can't do this for you. Good, take me off your list."
Exactly. So go ahead with your stories.
So I was doing an orientation at a company, and you know, we did our first day orientation, and then we got to the second day, and it was a long orientation. It was like 4 days, and you know, a lot of these guys and girls that came in, you know, came in from all across the country, you know, and then they would get put with a trainer after that. So they didn't have cars and stuff. Well, I drove that day to the orientation. So, you know, the instructor, I was talking to him, and he says, "Hey, do you mind if this guy rides with you to take a drug test?" I was like, "Oh yeah, that's fine. No problem." So we leave and we're on our way to the clinic to go get our drug test. And this guy says, "Hey man, you mind if I smoke?" "No, I don't care. Go ahead." So, you know, I lit me a cigarette and we're smoking, you know, and all of a sudden I catch a whiff and I look over. I was like, "What in the hell are you doing?" And he was like, "Man, I get nervous when we take tests. You know, I'm trying to calm my nerves." I looked over and, you know, he's steadily just smoking a joint. And I was like, "Okay, all right, whatever." So we go take our drug test, and then we get back and do the rest of the day. And then we get there at 9 a.m. in the morning. And the instructor comes up to me and says, "Hey, let me see you in the hallway." So we go out there, and he says, when the lady at the clinic called to give me the results to everybody, the guy that rode with you, she said as soon as they tested it, it like exploded and said that he had to have smoked something on the way there. I said, "Yeah, he did." He was like, "What?" I was like, "Yeah, he said he was nervous. He didn't like to take tests, so he was trying to settle his nerves." He was like, "Oh my God, really?" I was like, I don't know what to say. I passed my drug test. That's all I can say.
At least you didn't get a contact high. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Wow.
I was like, I don't know what to tell you, man. That's just what he told me.
That could have been the issue. You could have failed yours just by driving them.
Yes, sir. Holy cow. Like,
I don't know, people.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, what are you thinking, dude? You're going for a drug test. What do you think this is, a question and answer session? What do you think they're doing, dude? Wow.
Yeah, that was.
I don't know what you're talking about. Your testing must be flawed.
I don't know what kind of nervous you are when you got to go pee, but dude.
Yeah, I was just like, I don't know, man. That's I don't know what to tell you.
But here's the $50 question. Was he still working there the day after that?
No, he at 9:05 when I came back in the classroom, they were escorting him off the property.
Yes, sir. Wow.
Now, I've had real good luck with drug tests. Once they find a company finds out that I don't do anything, I get randoms all the time. I mean, there was a company I worked for. I walked in. I was getting randoms like once a month for like 2 years. And I know the reason why I was getting them, because everybody else was doing stuff that they weren't supposed to.
Right. Mm-hmm. They tell you, well, you know, we know you could pass one.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, whatever, you know, so I get to work one morning and it was probably 5 o'clock. So, you know, and I worked in Dallas and I lived on the west side of Fort Worth, which was, it took me an hour to get to work.
Wow.
So, you know, I've been up since like 2, you know, getting ready for work. So I get there and the inbound supervisor hands me a drug test and I'm like, oh, great. And then about right as I'm leaving, the terminal manager comes in and I've worked with him at 2 other companies. And he's like, man, you're all grumpy this morning. And I was like, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. You got to give me a damn drug test. Thanks a lot, guys. So, you know, I get over there and I they don't open till 7. So I stopped and ate breakfast and, you know, got some coffee and woke up, take my drug test, come back, and I'm in a little bit better mood now. Right. And, he asked me, the terminal manager asked me, he said, well, you a little bit better mood. What's the deal? I was like, man, I'm going to this party this weekend and you guys just opened up a field of opportunities for me. And he was like, what do you mean? I was like, well, you just hit me for a drug test today. What's the odds you're going to send me on Monday? Monday morning, I got to go do another drug test. I was like, really, guys? You know, I've taken 15 of these things once a month for the last 15 months. And I hadn't even, you know, hadn't even thought about you coming up negative or positive for anything. What are you doing?
Exactly. You know, that's the, I don't know. My name comes up often and, you know, they say it's random, but it's randomly me.
Right.
I guess my name is random.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
gee, just that.
Yeah. They were, when they passed the legalized marijuana in Colorado, I was down there in Fort Worth and they had a driver who had transferred in there from Denver and he kept telling me he was moving back so he could smoke his weed. And I was like, dude, you do realize that you still have to pass the drug tests. Nope, not in Colorado. I was like, we don't need you here. Go ahead. Go transfer back to Colorado, please.
They don't have to take drug tests in Colorado. They don't have to do randoms.
Yes, they do.
It's a federal mandate. But how does that work in this guy's mind?
Oh, in his own head.
You got to worry about how the gears were turning on him. In his head.
I got it.
We don't need you here. Go ahead.
Yeah.
You can go back to Colorado.
Yep.
That's amazing.
That's like us here with that. Those oils?
The CBD oils. Yeah.
We can't use them.
Nope. Even if they say that they don't have any the THC or stuff in them, you know, you can't take a chance.
No, and Estes puts out memos about 2-3 times a year. Do not use these because you may test hot.
You may piss a hot cup.
Like, yes, sir.
I was like, well, that sucks because my back really hurts.
Fish oil.
Yeah, fish oil my ass on back.
Fish oil and Advil.
Yeah. Basically, Advil is chiclets.
Right?
You got that right. Yes, sir. It is crazy. That is how it is. Everything you can take legally.
And then some. Well, anything else you got?
Sure. I'll leave you with this one.
Alrighty.
So I was making making my deliveries and pickups in there in Fort Worth one time. And the terminal manager calls me and says, "Hey, need you to go make this pickup." And I said, "Okay." He gives me the address and he says, it's Terry Bradshaw's horse ranch. So there's nobody going to be there. Garage door is going to be open. It's two cases of tiles that are going back to the shipper. I've already got a bill. Just pick them up and take off. Like, all right, cool. So I get over there and sure enough, garage door's open and there's nobody around. So I get my two wheeler out of the back of my truck and, you know, I run it over there and I bend down to pick up those things and put them on the two wheeler. And as I look up, there's a big old giant Great Dane staring me in the eyes, growling at me. So I'm like, this is not a good situation to be in right now. So, and I stand up and kind of backed off. And as every time I take a step back, he'd come at me, show me them big old teeth of his. And, you know, the hair on his back was standing up. And I mean, he was looking to do some damage. Right. Mm-hmm. So I look at the cab of my truck and I'm like, there's no way I can outrun him. So I'm like, well, shit, maybe I'll just jump in the back of the trailer and he'll leave me alone. So, you know, I take off running and I jump in the back of the trailer and I don't stop until I get to the nose of the trailer. And I turned around just in time to see him hurl and didn't even phase him, jump square up in the trailer. Right. And now I'm really screwed because I've got my back up against the nose of the trailer, nowhere to go. And so I have my big leather gloves on and I grab my knife, you know, and I'm like, all right, well, I'm fixing to kill Terry Bradshaw's dog. And, so I'm like, well, this is going to be bad if I just stab him in the neck. So I, did one last and put my hand out and said, "Hey, come here, boy." And that damn dog started just trying to lick me and jump around. "Oh, hey, what's up, guys? What are you doing? Hey." He was my best friend after that.
Just wanted to say hello.
That's it.
I was like, oh my God. When I used to do a lot of residential, so I'd carry dog bones with me. So I went to the truck and grabbed him one. And then he was really my best friend after that.
Yes.
But yeah, that was that was dumb.
And you want to know why he initially looked at you like that? Because you were probably pulling his dad's trailer, a Great Dane trailer.
Actually, I think it was.
He's saying, "Dad." So it's just a Great Dane. I'm thinking to myself, what kind of trailer you have?
Yeah, I think those were Great Dane, matter of fact.
Saw a dog right on the side there. I'm home.
Oh, shit.
Well, we ended with that, right?
Yes, we did.
All right. Well,
that was good.
I appreciate you guys having me back.
Yeah, no problem. No problem at all.
Oh, it was great. It was great talking to you again, Matt. Thank you for coming on.
It got off slow because we weren't sure what was going on. But, you know, once you said episode, let's look that up.
we're gonna have to talk to Jack.
Yes. But again, we appreciate you coming on, having a conversation, and we appreciate your loyalty listening to the show.
Most definitely.
So
don't miss it.
Well, good. That's one. Awesome.
All right, Matt. Well, you take care of yourself. You have a great weekend, the rest of your weekend anyway, and enjoy it. You go back out Monday morning then, I take it. Well, you enjoy the rest of your weekend. Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? It seems like these weekends go by way too fast.
That's for sure.
That ain't a lie.
That's for sure. Well, you know, for now, thanks for listening. And everybody out there, just share the show. Share it with everybody. That way we keep these shows coming to you, keep you happy, keep you going down the road. You get down the road a couple more clicks.
There you go.
Life is good.
A few more mileposts go by.
That's it. So for tonight, keep the hammer down in the hammer lane.
See ya.
Have a good night.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com. This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.